Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on calbanyan.com. And we've got another, I can't believe it, even another free hypnosis training video for you. I'm guilty. Yes, I know. I go to the convention. Some of the trainers out there giving me a hard time, giving me the look. Says, why are you giving away so much stuff for free? I'm sorry. I've got a dedication for lifting the profession. I believe that it's like a rising tide lifts all boats. And I believe also what we put out good, you put out good, it comes back to you. So there is nothing I won't discuss on these podcasts. Last time we talked about how to really add power to sessions by, you know, ending and emerging the client in a really powerful way. Before that, we did something which I think is totally groundbreaking. In the previous episode before that, I gave away the five-path induction. I think one of the most powerful rapid inductions on the face of the earth. I give it to you. Just go to www.fivepathinduction.com to get the latest information on that. And also, one of the powerful things about this podcast is that you can subscribe to it. That means you don't have to remember to come back. Every time we put out a new podcast, we have our VIP members. I send you a little notification, hey, new podcast's out, this is what it's about. And then you click on the link, bam, there you are, you're right there, and you can watch the whatever the newest podcast is. And also, all of our VIP members, guess what? You have access to a list, a members-only list, of all the podcasts we've ever put out. And each one on the list is a link. You just click on the link, that page comes up, and it's like an encyclopedia, a video encyclopedia of hypnotic techniques. It's yours. All you got to do is become a VIP. There's a place here on this page on calbanyan.com. If you don't want to do it that way, you know what you can do? You can send a blank email to videos@calbanyan.com. Once again, that's videos@calbanyan.com. Okay, do something right here on the computer. Bam. Okay. Now, let me introduce you to Erica. Now, I got the housekeeping stuff out of the way. Erica is awesome. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's professional. And she is like me, all in or all out. She got into this idea of maybe I'd like to work with the greatest computer in the world. You see, she was into all that software development type world before she came to hypnosis. And so she started studying hypnosis, but it wasn't sufficient until she got her hands on our video course, Five Path DVD 2.0. Once she saw that, she felt confident to see clients. Then she went through our week of power, and then it's just been nothing but up, up, up from there. She's spoken at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. She's spoken at the Solid Gold Weekend event in Las Vegas. She writes for the Five Path Journal, and she is all about helping building this profession. How you doing, Erica?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm really happy to be here today. Let me tell everybody about you. Cal Banyan, he's super smart, he's innovative, he's thoughtful, and he's also the authority on hypnosis that works. He's been in the profession for 20 years, and he's won nearly every award in the profession from the National Guild of Hypnotists, which is the oldest and largest hypnosis professional organization in the world. He's an author, he's a trainer, he's a speaker, he's still doing all of those things. He is the trainer of some of the best in the world, and I am just so happy to be a part of everything that we're creating here today. And, you know, creating this free material and giving this free material away is just lifting the profession. And Cal has been doing that for a long time now, over 350 free training videos for you guys. And so, you know, just being part of it is really awesome. And Cal, I think you're really awesome. You're the real deal. And hopefully, you know, when people meet you, they know that you're the real deal. You talk about hypnosis, you talk the talk, you walk the walk. And so it's just a pleasure to be here today for this episode on, let's see, what are we talking about here today? Top 7 things new hypnotists get wrong.
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you what. Erica went through this list real quick with me earlier, and I'm just going to respond to them as she goes through them. And there are so many. You want to listen to something fun. You guys who are VIP members, go down the list of all the podcasts. And I used to do a series called Dumb Hypnotist Tricks. dumb hypnotist tricks. It's just dumb stuff that hypnotists do. And we're going to take that now to another level. Go ahead, Erica.
All right. Well, the first thing that I see, and this is coming, from, as a trainer, I get to see some of the things that are just confusing new hypnotists. Some of the things that they just kind of get mixed up in their head, or that they, some of the assumptions actually that they're bringing into the classroom based on, misperceptions about hypnosis. All right. So the first one is a lot of new hypnotists get testing and convincing confused, right? So they think that testing is really for the client, and they think that convincing is for the hypnotist. And the reality is that when we say testing, what we're talking about is we are doing depth testing of the client to make sure that they're at the proper depth of hypnosis in order to do the work that we want to do. And the convincing really is for the client. And when the client is convinced that they're in hypnosis, they go deeper into hypnosis. And Cal, I know there's some really cool things that you want to say about that, so I'll pass it on over to you.
I love this idea. You see, when I first got into this profession, almost nobody was doing convincers. There were some, but they weren't doing it properly. They did not really understand the difference between depth testing and convincers. And over the years, I've shaped, I think, to some degree, the profession's understanding of this. And that is, all of our testing that we do of clients is for the hypnotist, so that we know if the client is induced, how deeply they're induced, whether or not I can use techniques that I want to use. For example, I use the 5-path induction and the 8-word induction because they're designed to take people to somnambulism. They have tests in them. So once I've tested for somnambulism, now and only now is my client ready to be convinced. And a convincer is something you do that allows your client to experience hypnotic phenomenon. Okay, for example, eye lock. It only takes the lightest level of hypnosis for them to experience eye lock. You've already tested for a deep level. So now you can do something very professionally. You can give them a depth test as a convincer without jeopardizing the quality of the rest of the session. That's right. You could see what they were doing before was, if they did convincers, they would just give them a depth test, an overt depth test. And the problem with that is, if you do even eye lock or arm catalepsy or number block or whatever it is without already testing them for a deep level of hypnosis, is they could fail. You never want a client to fail, because hypnosis is one of the Banyanisms out there. Hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't have their confidence, there's no game. So they would just do a depth test, and if they passed, then they're convinced. But if they don't pass, then that kind of messes everything up. Does that sound right, Erica?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. I knew that you'd have some really cool things to say about that. All right, so the next one. New hypnotists think that you need to talk in a slow, drawn-out voice the entire time with that kind of classic radio hypnosis voice. And that's not true, is it, Cal?
Well, it's okay for Hollywood to think that, but it is destructive to your professional development. It is destructive to your success as a hypnotist, and it is destructive to the results of your clients if you believe that. What tone of voice should we be using, Erica?
It should be congruent with whatever it is that you're suggesting. So if you are suggesting for your client to be relaxed, just like we talked about in the new 5-path induction, then yes, you want it to be in a calm, relaxed, maybe measured, nice, comfortable tone. However, if you're suggesting something else to your client to bring up a feeling, for example, you might want it to be a little bit more expressive and exciting to bring some energy into whatever your client is intended or you want them to do, right?
Absolutely. Another good example is arm catalepsy or eyelid catalepsy as convincers, right? We don't want to go, your arm is stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. That's just the meta message, and that is limp, loose, and relaxed, right? We want to say, your arm is stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. I lock it at the elbow. I lock it at the shoulder. I give it a tug at the wrist. It becomes stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. Stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. So you hear the tone of my voice is congruent with what I'm saying. And that makes your suggestions much more powerful. Beautiful.
All right. Okay, so a lot of new hypnotists still think that hypnosis is relaxation. And I see and hear hypnotists saying, well, my client just wasn't relaxed. And the reality is, hypnosis is not relaxation. It's a heightened state of suggestibility. And so don't get confused with thinking your client has to be relaxed. Those are two separate things there. A lot of times we're using relaxation in the hypnosis session in order to help our client's physical body relax, then their mental body relax. That is likely part of the hypnosis induction that you might be using. But don't think that your client can't be in hypnosis just because they're not relaxed. A lot of the times your clients are going to be in a very high or, well, yeah, somnambulism, whatever we want to call it, high state of suggestibility, good state of hypnosis, like level 4 or deeper on the Harry-Arnes scale, if they're emotional, and they might not be relaxed at all, right, Cal?
Right. You know, we often use relaxation as a form of induction because it's pleasant. It's pleasant. But sometimes, you know, you can shout someone into hypnosis, you can startle someone into hypnosis, you can simply have them focus on the feeling that's driving them to do the problem. Fear, anger, sadness, guilt, let those feelings come up and that can take you into hypnosis. We've got to let this old, worn out, classical idea that hypnosis requires relaxation. I've done some of the most powerful sessions in my lifetime with a person not even being relaxed for a moment. For example, you guys who follow us know about the time tunneling technique. I'll just start talking to my client at the desk. They start to cry or they start to get really angry. And we recognize that that is part of the problem. And I'll just say, close your eyes. Where is that feeling in your body? It's in my chest. Is it okay if that feeling goes away forever? Yes. Good. Focus on that feeling. If it had a shape, what would it be? If it had a color, what would it be? We turn it into a tunnel and bam, we're flying back to an age regression session with never once done any relaxation. So yes, relaxation is one way to hypnotize. Relaxation is one way to deepen. But there are other ways. In fact, Erica, put that on your list. I want to do a podcast on ways to deepen that hypnotists don't often think about. Okay?
All right. I got it.
Good. We'll do that one day. All right. How's that?
All right. So the next one, number 4, try to figure out everything about your client based on what they tell you. Like your client is telling you something and you're in there trying to figure out what the problem is, like using your conscious mind as a hypnotist instead of allowing the hypnosis to reveal the issue. This can be a big problem with new hypnotists, can't it, Cal?
I'll tell you what, this is such a big problem. It's a huge problem. You know, we'll have clients call us and say, do you do hypnosis? I go, yeah, well, we're called the Banyan Hypnosis Center. Well, I went and saw this other person, and I've been through 2 interviews with him where we talk, and haven't got around to doing the hypnosis yet. So I want to make, Maureen will assure them that, let me tell you what, you're going to be in hypnosis in the first session, you're going to know you're in hypnosis, and we're going to start bringing about change hypnotically in the first session. So, yes, all that time is wasted time. What you want to find out is you want to, of course, do the hypnosis pre-talk, which prepares them for hypnosis, but you want to find out specifically why they're coming in. You want to know how they're going to benefit from the change they want to make. You want to have them give you a thumbnail sketch of the history of the problem, including where they think it started. And that is more for them than it is for you. Because when we do the age regression, we're going to go so far past and in so much more detail than what they're aware of consciously. But clients need to tell you the history of the problem in a thumbnail kind of sketch. I mean, like 5 minutes. Because then they believe you have the information you need to proceed. But I could never get that information from a client and do just as well. I could just say, watch the pre-talk. Why are you here? What are the benefits of making the change? Any other questions before we get started? Bam, and go with no history at all covered at at the chair, because what happens is I'm going to very quickly get into hypnotic age regression, which is going to more accurately reveal the history of the problem as it relates specifically in detail to how it started and how it was reinforced. Is that what you're looking for, Erica?
Absolutely, and it's a good segue into the next one. They're related, but I wanted to separate them because I think there's an important distinction here. So number four, trying to figure out everything with a client instead of allowing the hypnosis, all right? When the client is talking to you as the hypnotist, you're trying to figure it out. But then the second is buying into the client's story. So as you suggested, we need to listen to what the client is telling us. We need to hear that part of it. And then we kind of set that aside and then we go allow the hypnosis to do the work. The reality is if our clients knew what their problem was, they would probably just go fix it. And you know what? A lot of times our clients do fix their own issues and then they don't have to come and see us. They're coming to see us because they're not able to fix their own problem. So don't buy into your client's story. Listen and move on. Right, Cal?
That's exactly right. In class, I say this, another Banyanisms are things I say over and over in class. Don't be fooled by the obvious. To the client, it's obvious that their problem started on such and such a date. First time they had a drink, first time they had to do public speaking, first time they had a cigarette, whatever it was. But you listen to that and you just put it back in the hypothesis part of your brain, knowing that that might be a symptom producing event, SPE. But as an age regressionist, we want to get to before that. We want to get to the ISE, the initial sensitizing event, for example. So yes, you listen. Yeah, and you let them know that you've heard what they've said. Let them have a feeling that it's that what they said was important, and to a small degree it is. But don't be fooled by the obvious. To them, it's obvious when it started. We are professionals of the subconscious mind. We know 99 and 44 100% of the time it starts before they're ever aware of it. Perfect. What number are we on now?
Now we're on number six. Making assumptions about the client or issue. So for example, I assumed that since my client went to church that she believed in heaven. So you start including that type of language into your hypnosis session. So don't make any assumptions about your client. You want to leave it kind of open-ended. If you for some reason want to know about your client's beliefs, ask them about it if you want to incorporate. Don't just make assumptions about where they live, what they do, whether they have kids, what their life is like. Don't make any assumptions about their life because it might not be true. And then you might make a mistake in the hypnosis session by making those assumptions. That's kind of why we don't like to make assumptions. Right, Cal?
That's absolutely right. And it goes over a myriad of different things. If you're going to talk about something or suggest something important in your session, make sure it makes sense for that client. For example, you don't want to suddenly suggest, you know, Atkins diet if your client's a vegan. You know, it's really hard to be an Atkins diet person if they're a vegan. You want to make sure that when they say, my partner, is that a business partner or a life partner? And, you know, if there's any level of unclarity about something, just ask. And you know what? News. Here's some news for you. Here's the news. You can ask them questions for clarity while they're in hypnosis. Okay? You know, if you think, oh, I wish I would have asked them about this at the desk before we went to the hypnosis chair, you just say to them, you can speak in hypnosis if I ask you to. And then ask them the question. If they haven't spoken already in the sessions up to that point. But get clarity. Don't start suggesting that they start doing something that is repulsive to them or don't fit in their belief system, like religion, that kind of thing. For example, someone might be wearing a Jewish star, right? But they're more of what we call like an ethnic Jew. But they're not someone who, you know, really follows the faith. So don't start giving them suggestions, you know, about, you know, the things in their faith. So just get that clarity. Is that what you're talking about, Erica?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Just don't, you really do not make any assumption about what's going on. It could be anything at all. I like to just I kind of play dumb in my head. I'm like, I'm not going to make any assumptions at all. If I don't know something, I just ask. You know, people like it when you ask them questions, surprisingly or not, right? So just keep asking them. If you don't know, if you need to know something, just ask. It's much easier. Which brings us to number 7. And I think this is a really important one, Cal. A lot of new hypnotists underestimate the importance of everything that happens before the hypnosis session begins. So they think that really the work is really done in the middle, like once you induce hypnosis. But the reality is there is so much important work that needs to be done before you even get your client into hypnosis. Don't underestimate that. We need to build confidence in us as the hypnotist. We need to alleviate fears and misperceptions about hypnosis using the hypnosis pre-talk. If those things aren't taken care of well, your hypnosis session isn't going to go very well. So what else do you want to add about that, Cal?
Well, you know, people are surprised in class. On the very first day, one of the things we do is I say, okay, everybody follow me, and we walk outside. And we talk about why the Banning Hypnosis Center is where it's at. And because it's first things first, I talk about all the things that lead up to a session, their first impression of you, your business card, brochure, website, when they first see your building. Some people will drive by your building 15 times before they ever give you a call. So there's so many things. And once again, I'll say it, I said it earlier, hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there's going to be no game. And so mainly what our job is, until we actually get them in the chair, is building confidence that in these things, one, in hypnosis, two, in you as a hypnotist, and three, as their ability to go into hypnosis. When they go through the pre-talk, you're mostly building their confidence in hypnosis. When you go through the pre-hypnosis interview or you talk with them at, you know, your interview desk, you're building confidence in you as a hypnotist. And then when you hypnotize them and you convince them they're in hypnosis, you're building confidence in themselves to be able to be hypnotized. And then after that, you're doing all three things constantly as you are hypnotizing them, bringing them to success, having them experience hypnotic phenomenon, post-hypnotic suggestion, all these kinds of things. So yes, you need to have a plan. That's one of the great things about 5-PATH. 5-PATH is a systematic approach. And the phase one of 5-PATH is preparation, testing, and convincing. And preparation is the stuff that Erica just asked me about, all the things that come before the actual hypnosis. Then comes the testing, then comes the convincing. Once that's done, then we can do all the things we want to do. Age regression, parts work, forgiveness work, informing soul technique, time tunneling technique, all these different things. How's that sound, Erica?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping you'd say, Cal. It's like we're building a foundation for success for our clients by doing really good preparation. And that includes everything you said, you know, your brochures, your business cards, your website, your online presence, your photograph, how you behave, like if you're in networking groups, that type of a thing, all of that stuff, to how you dress, you know, first impression from your client when they walk in the door, the smell of your office, the cleanliness of your office, the things on the wall, that type of a thing. It all plays into building up the confidence in your client, their confidence in themselves, in you, and hypnosis. And once you've got all of that done, when you do that really well, then the hypnosis goes a lot easier. And then you're able to do that. Setting up our clients for success, the hypnosis part of the session goes so much smoother, and we can do really great work with them when you do that. And a lot of the new students, a lot of new hypnotists overlook that important part of the session. So that's it. That's the top 7 things that I see, at least, the new hypnotists, some of my students, mistakes that they make, or some of the misperceptions that they have when they come into the class that we go over and talk about. And I'm really happy to be here today. Anything else you want to say, Cal?
I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm Erica Flint. Thank you for joining me, everyone. You can find me at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com. You can also find me on Our Hypnospace. I lead a marketing group there. I have a class in May coming up. I have another class in October and a third class in November. I hope to see you in class, or I hope to see you at the NGH National Convention in August, where I will be teaching 2 different classes. Thanks, everyone.
Awesome. Okay. Cal Banning here. We got classes coming up. I just want you guys to know that the Week of Power is full. Our classes do fill up. Make sure you get registered as soon as you can if you want to be in one of my classes. Our next National Guild of Hypnotists approved certification super course with 5-path and 7-path certification comes up in June 11th to the 22nd with the weekend off in the middle. Of course, that's 2016. And then October 3rd to the 14th, we're going to have a Hypno Oktoberfesting type certification course, and that's 2016, also weekend off, here at our center in Tustin, California. Oh, and I didn't have a mention in a while. Yes, you can take our classes online if you've got a good internet connection. That's right. I don't care where you are in the world. If you've got a good internet connection, we've got our website connected. Almost all of our classes, in addition to the people we have on site, we also have 3, 4, 5, 6 people all around the world taking the class live. And it is super cool. I mean, if someone is taking the class from Singapore and they raise their hand, then I'll say, hey, Dorothy in Singapore, you know, you got a question, and I can also ask questions, say, hey, Eric in Australia, how would you answer this question? And so on and so forth. It's like having the best seat in the class from your own home or office. All right, I think that's enough for now. Make sure you become a VIP member. You get access to all of our videos instantly. This is Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.